Wow. It's exciting to see God working. It's exciting to see how God is blessing. You heard Dan a little bit earlier and how God is working in the upcoming events here, Blast Summer Adventure. And we have God's Great Outdoors 20th Anniversary Celebration coming up. And other things we'll talk about here in just a little bit. Thank you for coming this morning, and just exciting to have you here and hear what God has for us today through His Word. You know, when our kids were little, we taught them that obedience was paramount. I mean, when we said, stop, that meant stop, no questions. And they learned quickly. We had a little girl who lived across the street from us. We lived in a neighborhood up in Fort Wayne where there was just one way in to the neighborhood and one way out. So everybody that lived in the neighborhood had to come through that entrance. And we lived toward the front. There was a little girl across the street. And bless her heart, oh my goodness, she wouldn't look when she crossed the street. She would just come running over and yell to see our kids. And we're like, oh no, honey, please don't do that, you know. And she just wouldn't look. And we would tell our kids, and if they started running across the street, if we said, stop, that meant stop, no questions, all right? And because it could cost them their lives. And then, appropriately, we would talk to them and explain to them what that was all about and why they needed to stop and about how cars were big and heavy and all of that. And it could cost them their lives. So we provided explanation according to understanding. You know, God has given you warnings in His Word. And we're going to look at some of those warnings here. And He gives you good reason as to why He tells you what to do or not to do. Take your Bibles and turn to 1 John 2:15. By the way, if you have YouVersion or you download YouVersion on your smartphone or iPad, you look up events and you can find Troy and FBC and you can follow along. Notes are already right there. You can also take your notes out of your worship folder. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or anything in the world. So here's our take-home challenge today. Take your notes out of your worship folder, and that is, don't love worldliness. Don't love worldliness. The world here refers to the world system, the cosmos. The way the world functions in its thinking, its attitudes, its actions, and it's just the way things are done in the world. It's speaking of the evil in the world. Now, the world would refer to the world view of the people of the world as this would refer to the world view of the people of the world as opposed to the world view of God's children. How you view life, how you live your life, how you interpret the events that take place in the world around you, all the way from the economy to your family and how you behave as a family. That's what we're talking about when we talk about world view. And your world view needs to be informed or formed by the Word of God. So with the admonition here of do not love the world or anything in the world, with love being an attraction toward and a desire for an involvement in, the question that would follow in many people's minds is why not? Okay, you know, it's kind of like if you holler at the kids, you just say, stop, why? You know, some of them just keep right on going. You know, no, stop means stop. And I'll explain later. So here you have some warnings, and yet what's great is God then gives you some reasons why you should not love the world. And so in 1 John chapter 2, verses 12 to 17, you find God's answers to these questions, and He gives four reasons why you should not love worldliness. And the first reason we dealt with just a couple weeks ago by way of review here, and that is you are a child of God. That's a good reason not to love the world, because you're a child of God. If you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're in the family of God. Remember, we talked about the fact of how you can know that you are a child of God. 1 John is a book of... Come on, 1 John is a book of... assurance. There you go. God wants you to know. He doesn't want you to wonder. He doesn't, oh man, I don't know if I'm a child of God or not. You know, there's some people that are just not sure. But 1 John 5:13 says, these things are written so that you may know that you have eternal life. God wants you to know. He wants you to have that assurance. And the book of 1 John teaches you how you can know. And so right at the outset in the book, he touched on several of those things, and we looked at those. And so as we move on, the idea here is that you ought to have some confidence now. Hey, I'm a child of God. And then in light of being a child of God, he gives you some reasons why you shouldn't love the world. And you are a child of God. That's a good reason here. You live in a different culture. You're not a part of this world. You're a citizen of a different world. You're not of this world. And you're not to love the world because you are God's child. You're adopted into a different family. And we looked at Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. And you can take a look at those and kind of check me out there and gain a little bit more understanding of what we were talking about a couple weeks ago. So John understands that he's writing to believers. He wants to give that confidence and yet also an assurance, but also he's going to explain, okay, here's why you should not love the world, but love God as his child. He addresses their spiritual state by talking to them as children. And then he talks to fathers. He talks to young men. He's talking about their spiritual life and how we are to grow. And the point here that we made is that no one has arrived. We all need to be growing, right? We all need to be growing in Christ to become more like the Lord Jesus. So that's a good reason not to love worldliness. Here's a second reason you shouldn't love the world. And again, it's in verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This is a warning. This is a warning. Why? Because the world is Satan's system. The world is Satan's system. Now, the world here is not the earth or the planet. Like in Genesis 1:1, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth." Okay? He's not talking about the planet here in 1 John 2. He's not talking about mankind as in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that if you would believe in him, you would not perish but have everlasting life. He's not talking about, sometimes we'll say when we're talking to someone about surrendering to God and salvation, we'll say, for God so loved, put your name in there. You know, for God so loved Dale. For God so loved Sam. For God so loved Susie. Whatever. Put your name in there. God loves you. That's true. And that's in the scriptures. But that's not the world that he's talking about in this verse. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. World here refers to a world system. It's kind of like a newscaster saying, and now to the world of sports. You know. And it's the world. It's a system that we have out there. And it's referring to Satan's system, his way of doing things. Satan's system opposes God. It's going on around us. You see it all around us. Just yesterday, I watched the news, and last night, and the first 10 minutes or more of the news was all bad news. I mean, one of the first things they said is down in Dayton, there was an alley, and they found five casings from shots that were fired and found a dead body. It's like, oh, man. And then the next report, they said that there was a guy that pulled up to a corner, and some guy jumped in and shot him in the face. And he drove himself to the hospital. I said to Teresa, I said, are you hearing this? You know, because the world has this system and Satan is in control, all kinds of stuff is getting out of control. And as believers, we need to have our eyes open to what's going on out there because we have the answers through Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, wow, think about it. And that's one reason as we want to show Christ is indispensable to our community that we've gotten involved in this Hope Over Heroin here that's coming up in just a couple weeks. And we had meetings. We've had meetings. Steve and Sue Justice are here. Steve's kind of headed a coalition. And just appreciate them coming out here today. And this is going to be a huge event coming up July 8th and 9th. You heard us talk about it. At one of our meetings early on, I believe it was April, we had, or maybe early March, we had Alicia. They had Alicia give her testimony. Alicia Mumaw, give her testimony of the hope she gained as she struggled with the whole matter of heroin. So I'm going to ask Alicia if she'll come and share her testimony here this morning. Let's welcome her, Alicia.
Good afternoon. Good morning. My name is Alicia, and let's start it off from the beginning. I was addicted to heroin. I had done it for about 4 years before, it really got out of control in my life. In the beginning, it just started out the same, here and there, harmless, didn't think it was going to hurt anybody or anything. And then before I knew it, I was doing it from the time I woke up to the time I went to bed, all while having two small children. And there for a minute, I stayed confined to myself. Nobody would see me. I was always in hiding, didn't go out because I was high. I can start off with a story. Maybe some of you can relate if you've ever went through anything, but my world was chaos without God in it. And I was in Kentucky one day, and I was, really in the midst of my addiction, hard and heavy. And we were staying in a hotel, me and my two kids, 5 and 8. And, of course, what I was doing all day. It wasn't just heroin. It was meth, too. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, a nice summer day. And I thought, my kids, should probably eat today. So I'll go ahead and I'll get up, I'll get ready, and I'll go over and I'll take them to the diner so they can eat something. And, I'm out of it. I've been doing this for months now. I go and sit down at the diner, nothing to me, skin and bones. I haven't probably eaten, I don't know how many days, or slept. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just looking at my two kids across from me at the table. They looked so unhappy. And then a fire truck came up and pulled up to the diner. They walked in, and I'm just sitting there looking at my plate and my kids because I'm so lost. I have nothing, nothing inside. I didn't care if I was there or not. And I was looking at my babies, and I'm thinking, do I give my babies to the firemen? Do I need to do that? I'm reasoning in my head, talking, trying to talk to God, something. And I'm just staring at them, so hopeless. And finally, the firemen go ahead and leave, and I'm still just sitting there not knowing what to do. I'm to my end's rope, the end of it. And days passed, and I was still going at it, still not giving it up. And just numbers and things like that started popping out of me in my addiction. And I do know that in dark, sometimes that's when God comes to you the most, when he knows you need him. Well, shortly after, I was still getting high, but those numbers led to verses in the Bible and led me into the Bible. And I started reading it and getting curious. It started getting my wheels turning, about God. Well, eventually, about a month or two later from the hotel story, I ended up getting arrested by the police for drug possession. And it was probably the best thing that ever happened to me because I was to that part to where I thought, one more day and I'll quit. One more day I'll quit. I latched on to that like maybe somebody latched on to their Bible or to God. And it just, it don't work like that. It's not one more day you'll quit. No, it's you have to quit. It has to stop. And when I went into jail, I knew, oh, no, everybody's going to know everything I did. you know, this respect, everything's gone. So I sat in my cell and I prayed to God that day. I said, God, I'm done. I'm depleted. I need help. I need you to come into my life. You have to give me strength. And he did. And he came into my life. Yes. And with my kids, I knew that, you know, I have to make something right with this. I have to show them, like, if you make mistakes or something's bugging you, it's okay to let others know. People care out here. And to turn around and ask God for help, he gives you strength. He gave me courage back because I would never be up here talking about this in front of anybody. But I hope if anybody else is going through this, you can change. I'm happy. I work on the weekends. I go to school now, cosmetology. I love cutting hair. My kids are happy. They got their mom back. So I'm so excited about that. But I wake up every day thankful for at least one thing, even if I'm in a bad mood. You know, I was gone, you know, in the beginning. And where I've come, it's so remarkable. It's truly a miracle that God's, what he's done for me. So I would just like to tell you guys, you know, if you know anybody where anybody needs help, reach out to them, because I went to church when I got out of jail because I wanted to change my environment. God spoke to me and he said, all right, now step back because, you know, I'm here now. And there was one time I was driving to church, and when I got really deep into prayer, I closed my eyes and we was at a stoplight. And I was praying to God, you know, give me strength. I feel weak. You know, I need courage. This is hard. I'm still in recovery. This is hard. What do I do? What do people think? And after I got out of that deep prayer, when I opened my eyes, I looked to the left. Or no, it was the right of me. And then there was a bumper sticker, and it said, be the change in the world you want the world to be. And I took that. I was like, okay, God. All right. That's okay. I'll do it. And I'm in here today being accountable for my actions, and I just want to let everybody know there's hope out there. You can change. So, thank you.
Wow, the power of God, amen? Wow, that is exciting. Thank you, Alicia, for your testimony and just being open and vulnerable. And it really challenged my heart, encouraged my heart, and it just shows that there. And that's one story. There are many out there, and that's why we need to show the hope over heroin, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, Satan, it's the world is Satan's system. It opposes God, and we're looking forward to a great weekend. That weekend, as I said already. On Friday night, we have that 20th anniversary celebration that was in place for God's Great Outdoors. Some of you are involved with that. If you're not, and you want to be involved in Hope Over Heroin that night. But Saturday, it's a wide open, and we are involved. We're headlong into it. Activities start at noon, go through the evening. There's a walk that starts at 5 o'clock at the fairgrounds. All this happens at the fairgrounds, but we're going to walk from the fairgrounds to the courthouse and back. So bring good walking shoes, just to show the community that there is hope over heroin. That hope is through Jesus Christ. Amen. And so then there's going to be a service at 7 o'clock. And but activities all day. So if you're not involved as far as volunteering, then at least come, attend, be praying about this, because we know that the hope is through our Lord Jesus Christ. Satan's system opposes God. And this becomes a litmus test for evaluating the issues in your life, issues like life. I'm pro-life for good reason, because God is. When we talk about God's way and God's system, origins doesn't become a question, because in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. That's what the Word of God says. When you look at this, that the world is Satan, the world is Satan's system, it helps you understand how to define family. When you have a worldview that is informed and formed by the Word of God, it helps you understand how you define family, how you have a work ethic, how you make decisions about music, about dress, about friends, about activities. Love, not the world. Take your Bibles and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Keep your finger here in 1 John chapter 2. But in Ephesians chapter 5, love not the world, but rather, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, be imitators of God. We talk around here a lot about put off, put on. How do I overcome the love of the world? Well, we replace it with a love for God. And 1 John chapter 5 verse 1 says, be imitators of God, therefore, as dearly loved children, and live a life of love. See, there it is. There's a replacement. Just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. But among you, there must not even be a hint. And then he starts listing some things. This is not an exhaustive list, but things that should not be. These are worldly things, worldliness. There should not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these things are improper for God's holy people. Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person is such a man as an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partners with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of the light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. Verse 15, be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity. Why? Because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine. Don't turn to substance that leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Don't love the world means don't participate in the things of the world or things of the world's system, the world's way of doing things, the world's way of thinking. The world says, you know, it's okay to lie as long as you're trying to help somebody. It's okay to cheat as long as it's not going to hurt anybody or you don't run too much risk of getting caught. It's okay to look as long as you don't touch. And so many have been sucked into pornography because of that. Hey, I'm just looking. You know, it's virtual reality. I'm not hurting anybody. It's okay to look as long as I don't touch. And if you do touch, it's not that big a deal as long as there's mutual consent. That's the kind of thinking that the world has out there. It's all okay as long as you know when to say when. It doesn't matter who you marry or what sex you marry. The important thing is that you love each other. Those are the things, the reasoning of the world, the world system. It's Satan's system. Now, who's the standard for those things? The world says, you know, you're your own standard. But God says, no, I've given you a standard, and it's my word. And you come back to the word of God to help form your worldview, the way you think and how you live. Now, verse 15 says, don't love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The love of the Father, the love of God is not in you if you love the world. Whoa. Think about that. Now, that's a warning. That's a warning. It's a point of evaluation. Which leads us to the next reason you should not love the world. And that is the world robs you of God's love. The world robs you of God's love. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The two don't mix. It's like Lot's wife in the Old Testament. Remember, as they were fleeing Sodom and Gomorrah, they were told, don't look back. Don't look back. And Lot's wife, what did she do? She looked back. Now, that was the physical activity of looking back. And she turned into a pillar of salt. Right? But you know what? I don't think it was just the activity of looking back. I think her heart was looking back. I think that she was longing for and like, I had so many good times. I really liked that life. I liked that lifestyle. I loved that city and all that we did. She had a longing for that. That's what you have in this. Don't love the world or anything. If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. They're mutually exclusive. Warren Wiersbe says it's not so much a matter of activity as of attitude. You know, you can stay away from worldly activities and still be worldly. What's the focus of your attention? What do you want? What do you desire? I talk to a lot of people in counseling or just in conversation, and they want good things. Oh, I just wish I had a godly family. I just wish my husband loved God, or I wish my wife loved God like I do, or like I want them to. That's not a bad thing to wish that your spouse loved God. Oh, I just wish my kids would behave and love God and show some kind of love for God. But you know what? Those good things can become idols. If you want it so badly, you're willing to sin in order to get it, or sin because you don't have it or can't get it. Again, you can be worldly, even if you're not involved in the activities, because of the attitudes and longings of your heart. They become heart issues. It's not a matter of just going through a list of checks of do's and don'ts. You know, it comes back to your heart. Where is your heart? It's a heart issue. A good definition of worldly is anything that causes a Christian to lose enjoyment of the Father's love or causes a Christian to lose the desire to do the Father's will is worldly. The world is anything outside God's kingdom, which is self-pleasing or pleasure-seeking without the thought of God's will. It's a heart issue. It's like Lot's wife, where it's kind of I would if I could. If I could just go back, I would. If God wasn't destroying that city, I'd be staying there. You know, think about that in light of where your heart may be. Whatever, and you know what? We talked last time about the maturity. You know, there are some here, man, you're the rock of Gibraltar, man. Praise God. You're living for God and you know, things that happen or lures or temptations there. You know, you're strong, you're overcoming, you're growing, you're helping others and that. But there's all along the spectrum. But, you know, there is victory through Jesus Christ, but no one's arrived. We all need to be honest about our hearts before God. Don't love the world. Because and the point there is, if you love the world, whatever it is that may be tugging at your heart, it ought to just open your eyes and say, you know what, if I do that, then the love of the Father is not in me. I don't want that. I don't want that. I want what God has for me. If anything, an activity, a relationship, a hobby keeps you from fellowship with God and or His people, it becomes worldly. And that's why, again, we want to launch out into the community and through this Hope Over Harold, and we want to give people the hope. You don't have to go that way anymore. There is hope through the Lord Jesus Christ. We have the greatest news of all. You know, we get behind it and we support this and we show people the hope that there is through Jesus Christ. It's powerful. Here in verse 16, there are three traps of the world. It says, for everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of the eyes and the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The cravings of sinful man, that's the lust of the flesh. The desire to satisfy a normal appetite in a forbidden way. It can be sex, Sex is a normal appetite. But if it's outside the confines of marriage, someone put it this way, sex is God's wedding gift. I thought that was pretty good. It's a normal appetite, but if it's outside the confines of marriage, then it's sin. It's the lust of the flesh. How about food? Uh-oh. Now I'm going from preaching to meddling, haven't I? You know, hey, food. We all love food. But if... What was the first sin? Eating food that was forbidden, you know? And so the lust of the eyes. She saw that it was pleasing to the eye and she ate it, you know? So it could become an idol. It can become the lust of the eyes. The desire to feel good. That's where the addictions come in with heroin and substance abuse and so on. You know, I just want to escape. I just want to feel better. But again, that comes back to the lust of the flesh. Then you see the lust of the eyes. This is covetousness. What are you looking at? What do you desire? The lust of the eyes. And then the boasting of what he has and does. This is the pride of life. I deserve better. I want this so badly. Again, I'm willing to sin in order to get it. I deserve it. So again, it can creep up on you even as a Christian and cause you to spiral down. And the answer to this is confession and repentance again through the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's a verse 17 gives us the final reason. And that is the world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of the Father lives forever. Listen, the world is condemned. It's a good reason not to love the world. The world is condemned. Our world is going through entropy. Now, by that, the earth is breaking down. It's getting tired. But you look at all the stuff that's going on in the world around us. It is breaking down. I just mentioned, you know, watching the news, and it's just like, oh my, just all the stuff that's going on. It's breaking down. However, if you do the will of the Father, do you ever think about salvation? That's God's will. He's not willing that any would perish. That he doesn't want anybody to die. He wants everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to come to salvation. That's the will of God. And we have, again, that hope through Jesus Christ. And so verse 17 there at the end, it says, only the one who does the will of the Father lives forever. So get this. Live for God and live forever. You live for God, come to Him in salvation through Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5:10. Find out what pleases Him. Live in light of His Word and live forever. Live forever. So, what is the love that God hates? The love for worldliness. To love the world system. Now the warnings here should be deterrents. Warnings should be deterrents. And I think of that little boy down in Orlando at Disney World. 2-year-old boy. I can't imagine as the 2-year-old toddler goes out into the water and for the father to watch that little boy being grabbed by that alligator and the father trying to beat the alligator off. And I just can't imagine the terror of that father. I can't imagine the terror of that little boy. Being dragged away. But a major concern that's been expressed is that there were inadequate warning signs. If there had just been signs that said, warning in big letters, alligators present, no swimming, it may have made a difference. And as people see those signs, there's no excuse. If the warnings are clear, there's no excuse. And here you have warnings. Reasons not to love the world. They should deter you. The world is Satan's system. The world robs you of God's love. The world is condemned. They should be adequate warnings to deter you from wandering into worldliness and good reminders that you are a child of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you that your word is truth. You love us so much. You've given us these warnings as deterrents not to go back or not to go the way of the world, but turn to you and salvation through Jesus Christ. And for the many here who know you as Savior, Father, to recognize, you know what, I don't have to go back. I have victory through Jesus Christ. Thank you for Alicia's testimony this morning that she knows you now and she doesn't have to go back, but she has victory through Jesus. May we all experience that in our lives. Encourage our hearts. May we be faithful. Thank you for as Jeremy mentioned earlier, as we sung, we overcome by the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness that we do, but by your mercy you save us.